How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday, everybody. Are we over our WrestleMania, post-WrestleMania feelings? Are we over this? Have we now settled into a restart of professional wrestling? I don't know. A lot going on. You know, I always think, like, okay, WrestleMania happens. They set up for the next, you know, whatever the next program is. Things settle down a little bit, and then they heat up again during SummerSlam. No, that's not happening. We're going to talk about Night 2 a little bit because we didn't get a chance to talk about it last week because we were recording as it was starting. We were live. So I want to touch on that just a little bit in the first segment. Also, WWE releases a lot of releases. A lot of surprising names, some, you know, okay, some very surprised about. We'll break that down as well. I want to get my producer, MG's thoughts on this, because one of his favorites was released. One of his big favorites was released, so we'll talk about that. Also, SmackDown, we're starting to see Raw and SmackDown set up what the next programs are going to be. When do we get Cody and CM Punk? How coded will the AEW stuff be in that program? I would imagine heavily. But very interesting. I, you know, they've pivoted to that. They've hinted at that. We'll see when they go there. Also, Double or Nothing here in New York City. My backyard, Flushing, Queens. Some matches have been announced. And boy, oh boy, is this going to be a fun show. I'm actually psyched for this. Okada, Takeshita, come on. Fantastic. We're going to talk about this and a whole lot more when we come back. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. The month's almost over. It's almost May. The year's almost half over. Had a lot of wrestling already. A lot of great matches already halfway through the year. Guys, do me a favor. Hit me up on X at Andrew Zarian. You can follow me there for everything else that I'm doing. I do this show. I do a show called Matman. I do a show called Beyond the Bell. I post scoops. If you guys saw that AEW trademarked Royal Redemption and Redemption. Is that a pay-per-view? I believe so. We'll talk about it. Night 2, we didn't get a chance to talk about Night 2. It was starting as we were doing the show. And I didn't want to spoil it for people listening to this via podcast, but I thought Night 2 was a much better pay-per-view than Night 1. It felt quicker, obviously. I mean, that show ended so fast. Some people said too fast. I haven't heard that complaint in a very long time that a wrestling show ends too early. But people got to enjoy their time there. You know, 9:30 it ends. It's 6:30 on the West Coast. You could go to dinner. You could go see a show. I thought it worked out for the people in that building. But, lower my seat a little bit here. There we go. But I thought it was fantastic. We got the ratings for the show on ESPN2 and ESPN. I don't know what people were expecting. MG, it did what, 1.8 million views on ESPN for Night 2?
I believe so, yeah, which I thought was a solid
Why is
number.
That a bad number? I mean, why is that bad?
Because it's WrestleMania and people think that it should be like 3 million but or 4
it's
million.
But it was also on the ESPN app. So that's yes. Not counting for the people watching on the ESPN app, which was most people. You weren't channel flipping.
No.
You put it on and that's it. It's there. I thought, listen, 1.8 million, that's pretty good. But it really was about Brock Lesnar and Obafemi. This match was 4 minutes and 44 seconds. What did Dave give this match? Because it was fantastic.
You know,
do you have our very own David Meltzer's... Oh, pull the ratings, because I want to... I thought this was done so well. I thought it was done... The right person won, obviously. They teased a Brock Lesnar retirement, then backtracked it. He left his boots and his gloves in the ring. Dude, you know what? 4.5 minutes. Night 1, I was complaining how short those matches were. Nobody was complaining that this was too short. 4 minutes, 44 seconds. You got what you got. I thought it was great. Also, we got the ladder match.
They could have maybe pulled another minute out of it, but maybe if it went another more minute, than like 6.5, 7 minutes would have been more than enough.
Whatever. I don't think it made a difference. I don't think it made a difference. We also got the street fight between Dominic and Finn. We got the ladder match. Trick Williams is the new United States champion. Which him and Darby had a hysterical, not Darby, I'm so sorry. Another spooky ghoul. I'm talking about Danhausen. My biggest, he's my favorite wrestler in the world right now. I can't believe I'm saying that. I love everything that they're doing with Danhausen. This is exactly what
I can't believe
what
you're admitting
be
it.
Why can't I admit that I'm a huge Danhausen fan? I always have been, to be honest with you. I've been a Danhausen fan forever. I like the macabre. I'm a fan of that. I think everybody should turn into a vampire at some point in their game. CM Punk 100% is a vampire. Okay? Bruno Sammartino, give him a if they gave him a vampire gimmick in the 80s, he would have had a long run. Nobody agrees with me? You think I'm going crazy? I might be, actually.
Crickets.
Yeah. I might be. Crickets. The Demon Finn Balor and Dominic Mysterio in a street fight. Balor won. Rhea Ripley, Jade Cargill. I thought this was fun also. John Cena announced the attendance, which was fine. Danhausen appeared with his little Danhausens. And, you know, Michael Cole said a word. I don't know if I could say it on radio. I'm not going to attempt it. But he called the little people something and then doubled down. And he said, that's what they want me to call them.
Which I thought was interesting. Don't say it on the radio, but it was.
I'm not saying it on the radio.
For sure.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That was a choice.
By the way, 4 stars. Four stars for Oba versus Brock.
And listen, dude. I mean, think about that, right? Dave is most probably, if not the best historian for professional wrestling, one of them. His fingers on the pulse. I mean, as far as matches go, I very much align in my thought process with Dave Meltzer's match ratings. Not because, maybe it's because I've followed Dave my entire, you know, teenage and adult life. I've been an observer reader, but I see what he sees in these matches. I would give that 4 stars, a star a minute. That's what he gave him. 4.5 minute match. So... He gave him 4 stars.
Just looking at these quick, he gave all these matches pretty good. All these matches
he gave them all pretty good.
They
were good matches. They were good matches. The main event, I loved. I loved the main event. 34 minutes, 41 seconds. This will most likely be one of the best WrestleMania main events, wrestling-wise. I'm not talking, you know, emotion-wise, wrestling-wise. I thought Punk did tremendous. I thought Roman looked incredible. They had great chemistry. What did you think of the match?
Oh, I absolutely adored it. It was, I mean, as far as storytelling goes, and this is no hyperbole or anything. I don't remember being emotionally invested in a Mania match since Taker Shawn won.
Like this, you know what, Danielson, I would say Danielson, I was very heavily emotionally invested in.
But when you get sucked in to where you don't know who's going to win, they got you.
That's great.
And they did their job. That's what they're supposed to do. And it was perfect.
Listen, someone like you that has watched wrestling for about, I don't know, when the wrestling started, in the 1800s, since Abraham Lincoln's time, right? That was the first time you saw when Abraham Lincoln wrestled.
Yeah.
I would say for someone like you that has seen all of them, for you to say, I didn't know what direction they're going in, and that's the goal. You know what? That is a rarity now, to not know they're going. The curtain's been pulled back. You know, it's been pulled back for a long time. It's a very different industry, but... Even for me, you know, I was like, I don't know where this is going. I don't know how they're finishing this. And they did a remarkable job. And it's moving into something else now, right? That now you're going back into the Bloodline stuff. You saw it on SmackDown.
Which I found interesting. And on Raw, with Jacob Fatu, I found that interesting that they put him on Raw for that. By the way, the whole brand split thing, I don't know what they honor the brand split when it's convenient for them, but during these Mania seasons, they don't seem to care.
No. The brand split, it's been all over the place for a very, very long time, which it should be. I don't like a brand split. You know, I got my favorites. I want to see my favorites on every show. If you did it that way, you know, you don't have the SmackDown 6 anymore. It's sometimes you got a very strong one side, you got a very strong the other side, but it really, at this point, it doesn't even matter. There is no brand identity that's different. It's all the same. All the same.
For the most part.
But I thought it was interesting what they did with Jacob Fatu. You know, they're doing this Bloodline stuff again. You've seen some changes here and there. You had Cody and CM Punk on Raw, where they're alluding to, you know, anytime, any place. So that's a setup for that. I think that's fantastic.
Which I find interesting. Yeah.
Listen, it's very interesting because Punk came into AEW, Cody left very soon after. A couple months after, he was gone. So there is a story there that both could tell.
Without telling, without saying it, right?
Just I think they're going to say a little bit. Yeah they're going to do the wink and a nod. They'll allude to it. They'll be like, oh, you took off when I showed up. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Releases Friday night from WWE. Some, you know, expected. Some people from LFG, some people from NXT. We'll go down the list. Some names shocked. We'll start off from the bottom. Luca Crucifino, Trill London, Malik Blade, Chris Island. First of all, these names are terrible. I think they just put a first name and a thing in a bag and you mix and match. You shake it up.
That's what they do.
You shake it up.
That's exactly what they
right?
do.
It's a random name. So yep. You pull one and it's like, oh, my name is Matt. The second one is Pump. My name is Matt Pump. That's my name. They throw it in. My name is Trill. And they pull up a location. London. Trill London. It's ridiculous. Malik Blade, Chris Island, Tyreek, Tyson, Serena Linton. Who is Serena? Was who? Tyra Mae Steele. Tyra Mae Steele is the Olympian, right?
Yeah, she was the Olympian and she was doing good, but I don't think she was getting all of it. And maybe they just gave up on her. I don't know.
Yeah. So now you're going into more known names. Alba Fire. Zoe Stark, which is injured. She's injured, Zoe.
That's the first time I can remember them doing that. To an injured
They did it last time too. There was somebody that was injured that they released. But again, I don't know if these are all releases. I don't know if these are all just we're not renewing. You know, Zoe's 32 years old, has time. She could go do something else somewhere else.
On some of the top names that posted, they were shocked. They were surprised. So
the top people?
I would consider that a release, yeah.
Listen, Andre Chase, he's been there for how long? He started Ring of Honor in 2008.
Right around the pandemic.
Right?
Yeah.
2021. He went there 2021. He was in TNA for a little bit. He was in you know, he's traveled. He's wrestled. And he got a little bit of a push with the Chase U stuff. And then nothing.
But it wasn't
years
working.
Old.
It wasn't
wasted.
Good.
I mean, yeah. It wasn't working because the characters. Mm. I didn't like the character. It sucked.
Exactly.
It was weird. And it was that. And you know, unfortunately for him and a lot of people in that company, in NXT, it was during a time when NXT was being rejected by the fans after Black and Gold. So you really, it was difficult. Joe Gacy released. He was there for a while too. Rowan released. Apollo Crews released. Is he going to go back to UHA Nation? Is he going to be UHA Nation again?
I think the Indies crowd would love it. I think it would do good. I don't know
he'll
if that
do well.
Means
he'll do well anywhere. He's a great wrestler.
He's awesome, and they just didn't let him do anything. It was great for a while.
But
basically,
he's,
the
again,
whole
38 years old. There may be a trend here with the age for some of these people. Maybe they just looked at, listen, these guys are in their late 30s. Dexter Lumis?
They're not catching on. They're not getting over the way.
Or we don't know what to do with them. Dexter Lumis is 42 years old. Yeah. And I like Dexter Lumis. You go back to TNA. Motor City Machine Guns. And they just went there.
Yep. They were there like at what?
I could see them.
They were here
I could see them showing
years,
up.
Right?
I could see them showing up in AEW on that Detroit show that they're running. I think their 90 days or whatever their terms are will be done by then.
July 23rd. I did the math.
You did the math? Okay, because you're a Detroit boy. So July 23rd would be when they could show up. I think that would be a great get for them for the tag division. Motor City Machine Guns, they're a great tag team. Tony Khan very much wanted them, very much likes them. I think they would have the most upside going to AEW. Santos Escobar, another, he's another guy. Great wrestler. For Santos?
Yeah.
41 years old.
Because they were using him on AAA. Yeah, they were using him in AAA. The next two don't surprise me, to be honest with you.
Nikki Cross. And Bo Dallas, Uncle Howdy. It didn't work. And wanted it to work really badly.
You know
I really
why
wanted
it, didn't
it to work?
You know why that whole gimmick didn't work? It didn't work on TV because part of the shtick was on pay-per-view. It was great because you could take your time with the entrance. You could show that mystique. But on TV, they had to cut it so they could get their stuff in and get the segment going. And so I just think that whole thing just didn't fit TV very well.
They could have done it. They actually could have done it right. They could have done it really well. I just don't think anybody had the effort or care enough to do it. I really don't. I feel bad for Bo. You know, he really was at one point the golden child of NXT. I think people forget. Do you remember him and Steamboat's son were the two that everybody was very high on? In that early NXT, remember? Ricky's son, and he had the back problem. And Bo
that
Dallas. And Bo
it
Dallas
was
had...
even on, That was when it was on syndication, I think.
Was it?
Yeah. It was on syndication before they put it on the network. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
that would have been, 2012, 2013?
I don't remember. Maybe 13. Yeah, I don't
remember.
Yeah,
13.
Dude, though,
because they didn't go to the network until 14, right?
Mm. It was such a blur. The next three releases, very interesting. Zelina was released, and so was Aleister Black. I don't know what the deal there is, okay? There's something there. There's something there with Aleister. And Zelina, for them to get released. You know, he just went back a year ago.
Yep.
And they really never pushed him. It was the what was happening. I mean, how much? How much of a push did he get?
He had that one good program with Damian Priest that introduced Zelina as his sidekick. And I don't know how much truth there is, say, Andrew. Maybe you know. But wasn't the rumor that before the Pat McAfee stuff, Aleister and Zelina were going to be in that role? Orton.
There was something there. I don't know how far it was discussed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know far it was discussed. I don't know if he rejected it. I don't know. I don't know. But there's something more here with this release because
I think it would have been incredible talent. I think it would have overall been better a program, a better story across the board if they would have been involved instead of McAfee. To be honest,
me too. I agree with that. I'm a fan of Aleister Black. I'm a fan of Malakai. I like Zelina. Zelina's from my area. She's a Flushing girl. You know,
I
like both of them.
I tuned in.
I watched it too. I don't think it was fair to blame Sean Ross Sapp, you know, and take it out on him in any way. I think, you know,
I don't think she meant it, but yeah.
I don't think she meant it like that.
But she did allude to going to different, she said she was open to TNA, she was open to Japan, she was open to going, moving on and doing other stuff. But I think she's going to get into film. I think she's going to do more acting.
Well, she did, and, that, and she even alluded rocks, to you that. Know? Yeah. I hope they all do well. I don't know where Alistair ends up. I don't know what the deal with him is. I don't know how his relationship with AEW is right now. If you look online, I don't know. Some wrestlers are tweeting stuff like, don't come here or whatever. I don't know if there were problems, but I'm interested to see what happens with him because, you know, he had
you know
that weird on and off. Huh? Where?
You know where I'd love to see him? I don't think that he can
juggle
do this
JPW,
year because of the
Juggle Pro Wrestling. Vince Russo will book him.
Oh, sure. No, G1. I think he would be fantastic.
Oh, for him to go to New Japan
G1.
And do the G1?
Yeah, I think the G1 starts before his non-compete is up. That would be fantastic.
If you told me, would you put money on him being AEW World Champion when he went to AEW at one point? I would have said 100%.
No, me 100%. Too. Me too.
But mm-hmm. I don't know what the deal with that was. It was so much stop and go. He did not really have a singles run that much. His crew was great, and they're all coming back. I mean, Buddy's coming back. He's training. He's almost ready. Mm-hmm. Brody is more elevated than ever. So I don't know if he's a good fit there or not. I mean, dude, Andrade's back there, you know? You could do that again with Zelina
involved. Do you want to see a subtle hint that happened last night on Collision? And I don't know if this just meant a coincidence, but Julia Hart pulled out the Black Mist for the first time in a long time. Since
oh,
Alistair was there. Malachi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can we do the main event? The main event of this topic?
Though? Okay. The main event for you, the most upsetting release for you is Kairi Sane. Mm-hmm. We have about a minute here. Very surprised at this. Kairi is beloved by everybody in that company. People reached out to me, talent and office people that were very, very surprised about Kairi. This one gets me. I don't know.
It's confusing.
It's very confusing, and I don't know why she was released. You know, TKO, as far as I know, is not in charge of this. They don't tell Nick Khan or Triple H who to release. Maybe Kairi wanted to leave. And I'm telling you right now, some of these people on this list wanted to leave. It's not devastating for some, for many, I should say it is. They didn't exceed his coming, but for some, they didn't want to be there. I want to touch on Kairi when we come back just a little bit more. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. That was my producer counting me down if you heard him. He's a little quick with the button nowadays. Too much coffee, that's what I say. He has too much coffee. Do another countdown. I think people like it. Just count numbers. Random numbers, MG. Give me a random number. Number of the day. That's what we're going to play. 99. There you go. 80. Thank you. Number is 99 today. That's the number of the day. I want to touch on Kairi Sane just a little bit more here because, Tony Khan wants Kairi. Tony Khan has always wanted Kairi. She fits that company very well. There's an endless amount of matches they could do with Kairi. Do you not want to see Mina and Kairi? I mean, I know
there's
my producer wants
matches.
To see it. And I don't even want him to talk about this because he gets a little too excited when you talk about Kairi, when you talk about Mina. listen, I think Kairi Sane is an incredible, incredible athlete, incredible wrestler. It's unfortunate we didn't see that program with Asuka and her. I don't know what happened
there.
That's
where they were headed.
But yeah. They were headed there, and they didn't happen on WrestleMania. And you know what, dude? I got to tell you something. I didn't pay attention to that as much as you did, but you kept telling me, dude, isn't it weird that that match is not happening at Mania? Isn't it weird that match is not? And I blew it off, and I apologize. You saw something there.
Well, I made the joke in our group chat that the other night while the cuts were happening. I said, because this was literally, Julia had just lost her Intercontinental title. to Tiffany Stratton. And I goes, okay, hot take. And this is when I say this, I mean this in a joking way. Okay, so no Io Sky and Asuka match at Mania. They released Kairi Sane, and now Julia lost. TKO hates Japan. That's what I said.
Yeah, yeah. You did say that. I don't know, dude. I want nothing but the best for all this talent. If you know me and the way that I speak about wrestling, I never criticize the talent. I don't care where you are on the scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best. If you're on television and you are working and you are wrestling, I have the utmost respect for you and what you do, because this is something that I can't do. First of all, listen, I was an athlete. I don't know if people realize this. You can't tell by this beautiful physique of mine today, but I used to be, I was very athletic. I mean, I work out still, but I used to play baseball. I played football. I played everything. This is something that I can never do. I did martial arts for 18 years of my life, but very dedicated. I was like a Joe Rogan with the Taekwondo. That's the thing that Joe and I have in common. We're both under 6 feet tall. We're both under 6 feet. I mean, Joe's a little shorter than me. And we both did Taekwondo at a very high level. I mean, that man is made of solid rock. If he kicked me, I'd disintegrate at this point. But, you know, you understand the point here. I can never do this job. I can never wrestle. I've taken bumps in the ring. I've run the ropes. I've done a couple spots. I've called wrestling matches. You know, when people sit there and they look at the wrestling, they're like, oh, these guys suck. This one sucks. You have no idea how difficult of a job this is. So I always respect the talent. I don't care where you are. If you're going for this, incredible. My criticism is always on booking and how they're presenting you and what they're doing with you. I hope every single one of these people gets back on their feet and they do whatever they're doing. In wrestling, outside of wrestling, it doesn't matter. But if you're going to ask me who's going where today, if I'm going to guess, Motor City Machine Guns goes to AEW. Kairi Sane goes to AEW. I don't know what happens to Alistair and Zelina. I don't know.
I mean, there might be a Japan run in there first.
I don't know. I don't know if they want to do that. I don't know what he wants.
Can we just put a bow on the Kairi stuff real quick?
Yeah.
Based on the online, I made you do an exercise in the break.
And yeah, you did.
Online chatter, they want, it sounds like people are really upset and they're making a big deal about Kairi. I would not be surprised she's back at Backlash.
If
similar
you go
to what
the
R-Truth did.
That's also a possibility. You know, that's also a possibility because if you go on their social media right now, you go to like their Instagram, WWE, or their Twitter, every comment is justice for Kairi. And again, you don't know. Maybe she wanted to leave. I don't know. AEW, let's go into this. They had Dynamite. They had oh my God, that Will Ospreay thing. Oh. Have you ever seen anybody sell like that?
Oh my God.
If this man is not the world champion at All In, there's a major mistake that has been made.
I believe that from everything that I
kind of put together, he will be the guy there. Whether he's facing Max or he's facing Darby or if he's facing Kenny or if he's facing somebody else, I don't know who. Maybe I do.
Be part of the
Maybe
Death
I don't.
Riders by then.
Maybe he'll be
is
in
that
the
that
Death Riders by
this?
Then. Oh, that was last night. Yeah,
that,
last night
that
was
segment
interesting.
On Collision last night was something else. So
yeah, John Moxley was seen backstage in the back of the arena somewhere interrogating Will Ospreay after Wednesday's Dynamite. Moxley said that he and the Death Riders can turn Ospreay into a weapon that professional wrestling has never seen. Dude, Moxley is fantastic. He has become something very unique in this business. He is a cross of old school and, you know, he has developed that character so well. And it's every element of everything that he's ever done leading up to this. There's a lot of Dean
you
Ambrose inspiration. There's a lot of that early John Moxley inspiration. There's a lot of stuff going on.
I get Terry Funk really a lot with him.
Dude, I get it too. And I say it and people are like, he's nothing like Terry Funk. I'm like, I see him as the guy that is so dependable and is trying to make everybody get better. And that was Terry's job in ECW. That's what Terry did. 1997, Terry Funk in ECW. I mean, that was a very unique time period. How old was he
just,
then?
The dark delivery. He was in his late 30s, right? Just the dark delivery of Moxley is what gets me. Just that menacing. He had a little bit of Jake Roberts in there, too. But, you know, just that's what I get out of him. But then he can sit on commentary desk and just call a match, and he sounds believable.
Yeah.
So, really love that.
Yeah. So, they did this. Ospreay told the cameraman to leave. We didn't get a chance to see if Ospreay took Moxley on the offer. But here's the interesting part. FTR accepted Copenhope. Why do I do that every week? Who the hell is Hope? I couldn't stop calling this man Edge. And something happened. And now I can't call him Cope. Cope and Hope. Christian and Cope accepted the challenge at Double or Nothing, but added their own stipulation. So, this is a New York City street fight. I quit match. Let's do two matches in one.
That
happening at Double or Nothing.
Overkill.
And you know what? But you know what? It works.
I'm sure
great.
It'll
I know.
Be great.
It's a street fight, and it's an... Dude, you know, do you know about my... my back alleys in that building. I've been going to that USTA facility my entire life. My grandfather was big into tennis. I know that building inside and out. If they need like secret passages, ask me. I'll get you through it. How do you think Rich? How do you think Rich ended up where he was? For that first, we're gonna tell that
story
one day. I know the Wrestling Observer. I know the Wrestling Observer audience doesn't know that story, but at some point. Rich, my co-host, was escorting Sting out of the building. We'll talk about it one day. I think there's still, what do they call it? A time period for charges? Statute
We're
of limitation hasn't expired.
Era. Yeah, there
the
you
statute, go. No, the statute of limitations hasn't expired on that story yet, so we'll tell it one day. But this card looks great so far. Two matches, and I'm so into it. International title. Okada defends against Takeshita. And we got this match. And we're most likely going to get Darby and MJF again in New York. Dude,
that should be
so
fantastic.
Great.
Great. That's going to be one of their best cards. It's looking that way right now.
I mean, you know, dude, their pay-per-views are stellar. The only negative here is maybe they could end the show a little bit early, okay? I got to get on that Long Island Railroad. And I say this all the time. When they run shows here in Queens, right? That LIRR service, it stops at a certain point. There's like an hour or two delay. Also, there's nothing around that building. There's nothing around Shea Stadium. There's nothing around Arthur Ashe Stadium, the facility where, you know, Louis Armstrong is in. It is a dystopian land. It won't be that in
I'd
a couple years.
For...
There's a dude. They're putting a casino.
Yeah,
they're putting restaurants.
Them...
They're putting.
Yeah, I would
all
be
for
all
where?
For them starting these shows at 6 o'clock, like 6 they've done with one. Like Mania started at that. You start them at 6 o'clock. You're ending it between. If you're gonna go 4.5 hours, now we're talking 10:30 tops. You're leaving. Everything is still
dude,
running.
Started at two. Open. Started at yep. five. Started at five. Do a 5 o'clock show. It's a 5 p.m. start time. You run that first hour at five. People are in the building. Six
Especially
o'clock, the main
Sundays.
Show starts. It's a Sunday. It doesn't impact the viewership. We've learned this already. It does not impact that viewership. It does not impact the house at all. You're more likely, to be honest, I'm more likely to go to a show at 6 than a show that starts at 8 or 7.
Yep.
You know, post-pandemic is very different than pre-pandemic. A lot of not habits, but people patterns have shifted. Things are a lot earlier. Statistically, I'll give you an example. In New York City is 2 hours earlier now. It's 10 years younger and 2 hours earlier the night ends.
Interesting.
maybe you could accommodate that a little bit. Listen, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just old, you know? Maybe I'm just getting old. I'm 42. I can't stay up. Dude, last night I fell asleep. 9 o'clock at night, I was out. I was exhausted. Maybe it's me. I think this is leading up to something very good here. Very, very good. Also, we got a new member of the ops on Collision. Anthony Bowen passed. Yeah, which we did. Anthony Bowen's passed all of Hook's tests. And he was allowed to be an op. I don't know. They never, after him and Caster broke up, I don't know why they broke them up. That was a bad move. I would have kept them together.
In the wind.
Very interesting. Very interesting. You also had, on Collision, a trios tag match. The Demand defeated Chris Jericho and the Hurt Syndicate. So Chris Jericho keeps losing. Is this the story here?
Well, the story was Ricochet said that he was going to beat him up every week till he quits. I think the payoff is going to be at, and I think the payoff is Chris will get his comeuppance at Double or Nothing in some way or fashion. You know, I don't know what they
so
do.
I
maybe
guess,
this is where they bring Big Bill back in, you know, in New York.
You know, the
City.
Last time I saw Chris Jericho wrestle was in New York. That was the last time I saw. Yeah, maybe Big Bill comes back in New York City. Another one of my my favorites. He's a Queens boy. Archbishop Malloy, basketball player. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Final segment of the show. There was one piece out of Mania Weekend that I wanted to touch on for a couple minutes here, final segment. And that was the security issues that happened all weekend long. We saw the big one with CM Punk. We saw that one where he knocked the phone out of the guy's hand that was really following Bayley and AJ and recording them as they're hugging, and Bayley, you know, covers up the camera, and you know, Punk came and he knocked the camera out. We saw numerous incidents. Who else had one? Someone else had one too, where he was yelling at Hobbs, Royce Keys. He had an incident too.
Yeah.
So I spoke to a talent, and they said it was all weekend long was like this. Okay, all weekend long was like this. It was actually one of the worst that they've seen. Listen, you're in Las Vegas. You're in a hotel. You can't move in Vegas without somebody being around you. But this year was so much worse than previous years, where they're going to make changes on how they do this, especially for the female talent. I was told stuff that's not public. And some of the stuff that was going on was kind of heinous. Following female talent all around Las Vegas, using fake names and attempting to get room numbers and find out where people are staying was constantly happening. Verbal harassment, like angry, like not wrestling based verbal harassment was happening. It was not good. AJ Styles made a comment about it and said there were numerous fan incidents also on his podcast. They got to do something here. Listen, guys.